We're back, Marks and Reese, live from Chickies and Pete's. We're in South Philadelphia as the Eagles clinch a playoff spot. They win the NFC East. One win away, Ike, from a first-round bye. Two wins away from the number one seed, and they'll have to do it without Carson Wentz. And I think they can. They obviously have a better chance to win it with Carson Wentz. We all know that. He's the better quarterback. In the short term, in a couple games, you take it week by week. The season's not over yet. I am not coming in here today. Season's over.
Hey, man, Jeff Hosteller did it.
Yeah, he had to play five games. He won all five.
There you go.
Won the Super Bowl.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Joining us right now, our man on the scene, Shiel Kapadia of The Athletic. He joins us every Monday after the game. What's going on, Shiel?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, Shiel? Do we have Jeff Hosteller on our team?
I don't know. I don't know if he's Jeff Hostetler. I don't know about that. You know, I look at it from two perspectives here. You know, the big picture. Number one is that, is the season over? Should you just stop watching? No, of course not. This team's 11-2. They have three very winnable games, and there's no juggernaut in the NFC. So if you're looking at the glass half full, I think that's the take right there. You know, they still have talented players. Doug Peterson's done a good job this season. You know, maybe they can catch lightning in a bottle. To me, it's about the ceiling. And I felt strongly that the ceiling of this team with Carson Wentz at quarterback was legitimately a Super Bowl champion. You know, a lot of things were going their way. They were playing well. I thought a lot of things were shaping up for them. To me, and I know people disagree with this and people have been getting mad at me the last 24 hours, but I don't see that ceiling with Nick Foles. When you talk about having to win two or three games against some very good quarterbacks, against some very good defenses. You know, I'm not saying 100% it can't happen, but that would be a huge surprise to me if they did that.
I will say this, Shiel. If they can find a way to win two out of these last three games, and they are winnable games, especially with two of them being at home on Christmas night and with New Year's with the Dallas Cowboys, they could have home field advantage. And you just mentioned that the conference isn't as strong, and if you get any of those teams coming here to play, that certainly gives the Eagles an advantage with their running game and their defense. So I would say even without Carson Wentz, the ceiling is getting to the Super Bowl. I believe they could still get to the Super Bowl.
Okay, I had it at getting to the NFC Championship game. I do think they can win a playoff game, but you're right about that, Ike, and I think they've got a great chance, actually, to go 2-1, maybe even 3-0 down the stretch this weekend. I think they're like 8.5-point favorites at the Giants, and that's with Vegas taking into account, obviously, that Nick Foles is going to be the quarterback. The Raiders' offense looked horrendous this weekend. They're going to be big favorites, I think, in that game at home, and then you see what the Cowboys look like there in Week 17. So, yeah, I think they are going to go 2-1 probably down the stretch. I think they have a very good chance to get home field throughout it, and you're right. That at least gives you the conditions to maybe surprise a team or two and make a run.
Shiel, what was the mood in the locker room after the game last night? They won a big game. It was an exciting game. Were players upbeat? Because you didn't know what was wrong with Carson yet. I think a lot of guys figured out that it was going to be something serious. But what was the mood yesterday?
I think you're right, John. They didn't, like, address the team and say, hey, Carson Wentz is out for the rest of the year or anything like that. So players were left to look at him, look at the brace on his knee, see how he was doing, and draw their own conclusions. But I think it was twofold. You know, the visitors' locker room there at the Coliseum, it's that old-school venue, and what they did is they made that visitors' locker room terrible. It's small,
right,
and it's crammed, and there's no central place, actually, where the coach can address the whole team. So we actually waited outside the locker room. There was this little tunnel, and, you know, in the locker room afterwards, they were jubilant. I know Doug Peterson said that afterwards, and that's absolutely the case. I mean, this is quite an accomplishment. 11-2, was an unbelievable win, one of the most entertaining games I've ever seen in person yesterday. So they were definitely excited about that. But then once they walked out to that tunnel and media started talking to them and were asking them about Carson and the QB situation, it turned a little more somber tone. You know, Lane Johnson just being like, this sucks, man. You know, Carson has been so good for us. And everyone's trying to put a good face on it with Nick Foles and show they have confidence in him. But, you know, Wentz has just been special this season. There's no two ways around it. On the field, the guys have noticed it all season long, and then I think he has formed a connection with a lot of those players. So kind of bittersweet, I would say. They were on both sides of that thing.
Yeah, I haven't been in that situation myself before, Shiel. I know those players, they feel bad for Carson because of the year that he was having. They certainly know how important he is to the team. But I think on a personal level, you just don't want to see one of your teammates who's had such a fantastic year not be a part of this thing at the end. So I think they definitely feel for him on a personal level. But I also know as true competitors, they feel like they have a special team. And so while it hurts to not have Carson, they are certainly will find this to rally behind and then see how far they can go without him. I mean, they'll use it as a rallying cry as opposed to feeling like their season is over with.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I think they started to do that yesterday. I mean, the defense coming up with those big plays in the fourth quarter when it looked like they couldn't get a stop to save their life in the third quarter. So you did see some of that. I know Rodney McLeod, I think, said he went up to Wentz after the game and told him, you know, we won that one for you. That kind of thing. What struck me with Wentz really was last week when I was talking to players. And one thing I've noticed about Wentz is that every time he makes a bad throw or makes a mistake, he's very accountable. You know, he says it right away. I missed that throw. That was on me. I got to do a better job. And it's very genuine. And I was asking the players, I said, is he like that with you guys? And a couple of them, Malcolm Jenkins, Jason Kelce, looked at me like I was crazy. And, you know, they said, we're here. We're 10-2. Because of Carson Wentz, he doesn't have to say a single thing to us. He's working, you know, harder than anybody else on the team, and he's the reason we're here. So I did think back to that when we got the news this morning and also last night.
All right, Joe, quickly on this one. You don't expect the team to check out a free agent quarterback as far as some guy? I don't know the guys out there. I'm actually trying to Google it right now. Do you expect them to stand pat, maybe bring in a guy on the practice squad?
Yeah, no, I don't think there's going to be major changes. It's going to be Nick Foles and Nate Sudfeld here the rest of the way. I mean, we're in week 15. You're not going to bring in a new guy, I don't think, to learn the system. And then this is a guy, Nick Foles has starter experience. You know, it's not like this is some rookie who's never played before. I'd say he's middle to upper tier in terms of backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. But what if he goes down? I guess it's the – because you know the obvious name is Kaepernick, and a lot of people have already said that right now.
RG3.
But I'm more worried about if Nick goes down and you need somebody to come in to finish the game. Not like there's a long line of people out there available week 15, but I would at least look into it, Shiel.
I mean, to me, you cross that bridge when you come to it. You know, it's only three more regular season games and then the playoffs. If he does go down, it's not like that guy's going to get a ton more practice reps or anything right now. So I would probably just stand pat if I were them.
All right, there he is, Shiel Kapadia. Check him out on The Athletic. He does a great job. As always, Shiel, talk to you, man.
Take care, guys.
All right, Shiel.
My man, Shiel Kapadia. I'm going to take a call, and then we're going to get to Ben. Ben emailed one of our guys that does stuff for us, all right? And it's the prediction machine. And he's telling me he has all this information on matchups against this team, that team, Super Bowl matchups. So stay tuned. We're going to get to you in a second. I got to go to Len in Swedesboro, New Jersey. Hi, Len.
Yo, what's up, Johnny?
Yo.
What up, man?
Yo, what's up, man? All right, so I had to give my vote in for zero confidence in Nick Foles. Zero. It's for two reasons, man. His game speed is too slow, and we have a leaky left tackle. And to me, that's a recipe for disaster. So that's why I have zero confidence in the guy. I just, as soon as the line breaks down, you know the play is done. He's going to throw something up. I don't know, man.
So the season's over with?
Well, yeah, but I'm going to try to score from a roof on my team. But
he's down. Len's down today. He is. Len texted me yesterday saying he's going to sit in the dark all night by himself.
Well, here's the thing. Listen, an injury like this changes everything, and so we have more than enough time to reset our expectations and just enjoy the rest of the season. So you don't have to feel as down about not winning the Super Bowl. We lost our starting quarterback. It would have been difficult to do that even with if we had Carson Wentz, but we don't have him anymore. And so now I just look at it this way, Lynn. Can we at least win a home playoff game? I want to win a freaking playoff game, man.
Yeah. You know, it's gonna be nice to be back in the playoffs. You're right.
Okay, that's the way I'm looking at it. You know, we got to guess what, Lynn? Just like we had to readjust our expectations when this team got to 7-1 and 8-1, and we started thinking about the Super Bowl. Well, now we got to kind of go back to where we were.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Well, there's two things I want to happen too. We got to start getting the ball out quicker to my man Nelson Aguilar because he's the quickest guy we got. So we don't have a lot of time to throw. And number two, we brought Alshon Jeffrey here to make those tough – he's not going to run past anybody, but he's supposed to be a guy that you just throw it up there and he can fight somebody off of the ball. I'm not seeing a lot of fighting off of the ball ability right now. So he's got to raise his level up a few notches too. And we might be all right if I start seeing some of that stuff.
All right, yeah. Then. What he said about the left tackle, and I agree.
Yeah.
Vitae, as time's gone on, he hasn't necessarily gotten better, but maybe taken a little bit of a step backwards. So is that where you say to Brent Celek, hey, Brent, go ahead. You're going to chip him. You're going to chip the defensive end with the back, and you're going to maybe park Celek over there a little bit to help out, well, especially with Foles in there.
You can bet this every game. That left side is going to get work because the right side has Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks over there. So if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm going after that left side. I'm going after Wisniewski, Warmack, Sayamalu, with Vitae. That's why I'm rushing extra guys. That's why I'm putting my best interior pass rushers at. That's why I'm attacking you, the quarterback's blind side. And now you got a guy like Nick Foles in there who can't really move in the pocket. They're really going to overload that left side.
Yeah.
So Doug's going to have to do something.
Yes, he is.
You need to put the tight end over there. You make sure the running back is chipping over there. I mean, got to do something.
Ben, we're going to get to you in a second, but I forgot about Tony in West Philly. Tony takes issue with the first and goal at the three, having Wentz throw it. What's up, Tone?
Hey, what's up, folks? How you doing?
Yo. What up, Tone?
How you doing?
Good, Ike. I'm the same one that picked Aguilar with you a couple of years ago in the draft.
Okay.
But listen, let me tell
it's
you.
It's finally paying off for us, Tone. It's finally paying off for us.
Oh, that's right. But you're not so much wrong as to – but when you said when do you run,
yeah.
When you have a first and goal at the three-yard line, you have to – you brought in LeGarrette Blount. You got to pound that ball twice. You got to go double tight and pound that ball into the end zone. Ironically, he said Carson Wentz had nobody open. You know how short a space you have from the back of the end zone to the three-yard line? You have 13 yards. It's congested. It got to be a hot pass. Sean Payton is still doing somersaults over the call he made in the Super Bowl. The same thing, trying to throw a quick pass at the one-yard line, and he said he wished he never made that call. So this had to go squarely on the shoulders.
Are you talking about the Seahawks?
Yeah, with Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, you mean Pete Carroll.
We're supposed to pound beast mode, okay?
Right. Yeah.
You have to run the ball. That's what them guys are getting paid for. That's their job. It was not the play to throw a pass. I love to throw the football. Coach, I love throwing the football, but there's a time to throw. There's a time to run. That was the time to run the ball.
I know, because he got injured.
And the Eagles were exposed. The defense was exposed. They pursued so fast. They got caught back on the cutback lanes, misdirections, and then, as the caller said before, the receivers. You know, going forward, I don't want to go too far ahead of myself, but going forward, they got to address that. They need, the barn burner receivers. I like Aguilar, but they need some speed on the outside. But this falls on the coach's shoulders, fellas.
All right,
because the quarterback got hurt.
Yep, Doug's fault. Yeah, got to run it first because passing in the red zone hasn't worked for him this year.
Well, and I even heard people say they shouldn't have went for it on fourth down. Should have kicked the field goal. You kick the field goal, Wentz doesn't get hurt. Come on, man. I mean, it's nobody's fault. It's bad luck. That's what it is.
Yeah, because he didn't even really take a big hit. Like, he took a hit.
I've seen him take harder hits.
Yes.
Than that. Oh, yeah, and get up. It was – it's unfortunate. It really is. And I know afterwards we all want to say, well, we've done something different than the guy wouldn't have gotten injured. And yeah, that's easy to say afterwards. That's easy to say afterwards. In the heat of the moment, the guy's just playing football. And to second guess Doug and what he's doing, I think it's unfair to Doug. I mean, whatever you may think about Doug is a play caller. If you think Carson Wentz was the MVP of the league, guess what? He wasn't the MVP because he was handing the ball to LeGarrette Blount, because everybody wants him to run the ball so much. So everybody who thinks we got a franchise quarterback and he was the MVP of the league and he's one of the elite guys, those guys don't turn around and hand the ball off 35 times a game. They got to throw the ball at certain times. And Wentz had the year that he was having because they were throwing the ball in the red zone. How many touchdowns does LeGarrette Blount have?
Two.
So at what point this year had they been giving LeGarrette Blount the ball from the five-yard line so much?
Well, they have. He just hasn't gotten in.
Well,
think about it.
How about that? How about that?
Yeah, Blount has not had a lot of success inside the five like he did last year.
Yeah, so give the coaches credit for something, right? I mean, they've gotten to this point without using the formula that everybody now wants to say is the only way you should win in this league. Well, they were the number one scoring team in the red zone. Carson Wentz hadn't thrown an interception in the red zone all year. He finally had a turnover last week against the Seattle Seahawks in the red zone, where he fumbled the ball going in the end zone. So this was the number one scoring team in the league, the number one red zone team in the league. Now all of a sudden we want to second guess the coach and what he should be doing when, quite frankly, what he's been doing has worked for him all year.
Damn right.
And none of what he's been doing has said that we're running the ball with great success from the five-yard line in and LeGarrette Blount has double-digit touchdowns. It hasn't worked that way all year.
Yeah, it's like you said, you get the people that are, you run the ball inside the five, and they're mad that Carson got hurt, and so it's Doug's fault because you should have been running it anyway. But reality is that you run or pass there, and that's what you do in the NFL.
It's what you've been doing all year long.
You do one of it, it's not ridiculous to throw the ball on first down from inside the five. They've been doing it all year long, and it works.
And guess what? A lot of teams do it.
And it works well because Carson is able to roll, and he's able to run. Just like he got in, but he got hurt, and he got called back.
Didn't the Rams score on a pass from, like, the two-yard line yesterday?
They did, and it looked like that Seahawks pass that got picked off. I thought it was going to get picked off. That's a dangerous pass.
That was the pass to
Watkins.
One catch Watkins.
Yep. Yeah, he didn't do much yesterday.
Yeah, but that's what he does every game.
Sammy.
One catch, one touchdown.
All right, so our crack producer, Ben Livingston, had contacted some people from Prediction Machine that put the numbers in, spit them out. And, Ben, so tell us what you have, tell us what you asked, and tell us what the info is.
Well, these guys might be the most accurate forecasters in the entire game. I mean, they've done an incredible job in Vegas. They've built a huge business. And basically what they do is they simulate every game 50,000 times. They take everything into account, the weather, who's playing this, who's playing that, all of that. And so they took the numbers with Carson Wentz and the numbers with Nick Foles and ran a comparison just for us. You won't find these numbers anywhere else. So I'm going to take you through some of the things that have changed with Carson Wentz out and Nick Foles in.
All right.
First of all, per the Prediction Machine, with Carson Wentz, the Eagles were the best team in the NFL. With Nick Foles, they now say they are the sixth best team in the NFL. So they've dropped from 1 to 6.
All right. I mean, that seems about right. I mean, if the Eagles are going to be maybe that's a little bit too much. I could see 4th or 5th. Who's ahead of them? Do you have that?
I don't have who's ahead of them, but I would assume the Patriots, the Steelers, the Vikings, and one or two other teams.
All right. What's next?
Their odds to win the Super Bowl with Carson Wentz were 21%, and they were the Super Bowl favorite. Without Carson Wentz, they are 2nd in the Super Bowl odds at 13%. So they drop from 21 to 13, and they drop from 1st to 2nd.
There you go, Ike.
Yeah, you got to tell him to your left. He's not feeling well.
TK.
We take you to the NFC odds. They were the NFC favorite before, and they are still the NFC favorite. However, before they had a 48% chance of winning the NFC with Carson Wentz. Now with Nick Foles, they are still the favorites, but only at 29%. So that is a huge drop-off.
Yes, it is.
48 to 29.
It's about right, by the way.
Yeah.
It's about right, but you still got a chance. Still got a pretty good chance. All right.
They are still projected to go 13-3 as they were before. So Vegas expects, the Prediction Machine expects them to lose one more game down the stretch.
So 13-3 gives them home field advantage throughout, right?
The number one seed.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take my chances with that.
Now, I'll take it.
Running game at home. defense should play better at home because you got the crowd behind you. That's going to be a problem for offenses coming in. Crowd is going to be crazy. We're going to get the Saturday night game. No, we got to get Saturday night in Philly, right?
How about that?
We got to get that. Get us lathered up.
They win their first two games. Who starts that last game against the Cowboys? They're going to have to sign somebody. They're going to have a backup.
Let's get Nate Sudfeld some work in.
Yeah.
Get him some work.
All right, what else you got, Ben?
Now, if you take strength of schedule out of it and you just assume everybody's playing an average team every game, the Eagles with Carson Wentz would have had the third-ranked offense in the NFL at 27.4 points per game. With Nick Foles, they dropped from number 3 to number 8 from 27.4 to 24.8. So we're talking about 2.6 fewer points per game.
So what the prediction machine is doing, Ben, and thank you for it, Ike, is pretty much by the numbers saying, yeah, there's a drop-off, but it's not significant at this point in the season. If this was week 3 or 4...
Oh, it'd be totally different.
It'd be totally different.
Because you got more games you got to win.
Right.
And the million-dollar question, by the way, if the Eagles did get to the Super Bowl and they faced the Patriots, before they would have been a pick-em, now they'd be a 4.5-point underdog.
Yeah, okay. That sounds about right. And that's all right. It's like 4.5 points. You kidding me? I'll take that right now.
That's less than an underdog than we were playing against the Patriots without T.O. That's
exactly right.
Then I told you.
Yeah, I'm not.
We were 7-point underdogs against the Patriots.
I don't know if I'm betting the Eagles on that 4.5 points, but I'll take it.
I'm not, but I hear you. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, let's get there first.
You know what's going to happen.
What?
Nick Foles is going to lead us to the Super Bowl championship.
Well, I said it earlier.
Yeah.
We thought he was the savior, Nicky Six, at one point. Yeah. Then we're like, oh, he was a fraud, and he left.
It's going to force everybody that hates Doug as a coach, who thinks he doesn't know what he was doing, to basically worship at the Doug Peterson altar, because you won't have Carson Wentz to say he carried Doug to a Super Bowl. You're going to have to actually praise Doug.
It's actually it's a great point, and when I'm watching the press conference today.
Just like you had to praise Charlie Manuel.
Yeah, well, some people still haven't, but that's beside the point. He's coming up at 6 o'clock on Howard Eskin with Brandon Graham and Merrill Reese. But no, when I hear Doug talk now, and this is on me, and I'll admit to this right now. Last season, I thought Doug was like the wacky uncle that you see at the family barbecue,
right?
Like, you know, like
harmless,
harmless, like good guy. Not necessarily stupid, but not like he wasn't the doctor of the brothers, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like he had a good job, but he wasn't the doctor of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at him today and how he carries himself at a press conference and kind of the command he has over his team and really over this city right now. This dude's a really good coach. I mean, he's an upper-tier coach right now.
Yeah, I agree. And his way of doing things, I'm just going to ride with him, man. He's gotten you to 11-2. Like I say, it's always easy to second-guess what coaches do after the fact. Guy wins these many games. The team has looked as dominant as it has looked. I'm going to ride it out with him. Ride it out with him, you know, and they still have a strong team. You know, what you really need is for Jim Schwartz and the defensive side of the ball to get their act together.
Yes. How about that secondary?
Like, that's really what you need to happen over there. Fix the issues over there.
I want to ask you about Ron Darby in a second. Let's take a phone call because it seems to have coincided. The secondary maybe taking a step backwards. It seemed to have coincided with Ron Darby coming
back. Yeah.